Yeah, the one piece of advice is to really be obsessed with your customer. I think the reason that we've been able to be successful is because Matt and I, since building Conquer, we've been so close to our target customer. We hosted games on our platform, we talked to them, we've researched competitors, we know our competitors, we've gone to our competitors' games. And I think in today's world where it's, I don't want to say it's easy to launch a startup, but there are a lot of different tools that make it relatively easy and quick to start a business. There are so many products out there, so there are so many things that are being pitched to us on a daily basis that it's actually quite hard to build something that people like and they want to pay for. And I think that with all those challenges that you have of like trying to find out what people want, it's really important that you understand your customer better than anyone because you're ultimately building a product for them. And so my one piece of advice is get to know your customer, be obsessed with your problem, talk to them as much as you possibly can and quickly iterate. But you know, the assumptions are tough because you might think one thing, but at the end of the day, the market's going to tell you what they want and what they're willing to pay. And so it's important to stay as close as you can to those target customers to figure out exactly how you can make the product they want.
Hey everyone, this is Devin Miller here with another episode of The Inventive Journey. I'm your host, Devin Miller, the serial entrepreneur that's grown several startups into seven and eight figure businesses, as well as a founder and CEO of Miller IP Law, where he helps startups and small businesses with their patents and trademarks. If you ever need help with yours, just go to strategymeeting.com, grab some time with us to chat, and we're always here to help. Now, today we've got another great guest on the podcast, Lewis Long. And Lewis, to give you kind of a quick run through, played soccer his whole life, ended up getting a back injury in as a senior in high school, so kind of put him on a little bit of a different direction for a period of time, but went off to college for a bit, and then did come back and played soccer for Madrid for a little while. After that, got a financing degree, worked in finance investment firms in New York for a period of time, but missed playing sports. And then him and his friend came up with a platform for people to get together and play sports. And they both left their jobs, started doing that full time about 3 years ago, and then have been building and expanding that ever since. So, with that much as an introduction, welcome on the podcast.
Yeah, Devin, thanks for having me. And yeah, great recap.
Hey, my pleasure. Condense everybody's life into the 30-second version of it. So with that, maybe to rewind and unpack just a little bit, why don't you tell us a little bit about how your life got started or in high school playing soccer?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, pretty much I was usually the kid, even before high school growing up, of just itching to play sports. Like I was always super active. Frequently found myself going to local fields and parks just trying to play, whether it was baseball, basketball, soccer. Found out I was way better with my feet than I am with my hands. And so ultimately ended up playing soccer pretty competitively throughout high school. Played on my high school team, played on the club team, and really met all my best friends through playing on these teams. Had the opportunity to play in a bunch of different states, in a bunch of different countries, meet people along the way. But ultimately, I still keep in touch with a lot of my teammates and actually ended up starting a business with you know, my lifelong teammate, or you know, a teammate I've had for a while on club and high school, who obviously is now, you know, one of my best friends. So
So now you see, you started playing soccer, played in club teams, played throughout schooling, and I think in high school you got a back injury that it delayed things a bit, but you went off to college before circling back and or picking up doing it or playing for Madrid for a period of time. Is that right?
yeah, so you know, really, I mean, I love sports. I definitely thought I wanted to play in college. I had a back injury my senior year, which ultimately allowed me to go to a larger school because I probably wouldn't have been able to play at a Division I school, even though I really wanted to go to a bigger school. So I went to Tulane University. They didn't have a team there. They did have a few options for like intramural and club, which I messed around with, but then it really wasn't like the level that I wanted to. And then I actually had a chance to study in Madrid, where I got to play on a really competitive team over there. And kind of just realized how much I was missing, not just on the you know, playing sports side of being competitive, but really just from like meeting new types of people. Like I think you can't really replicate the relationships that you have on a sports field. And I was able to really like be on a team where I was the only American, learned really to speak Spanish pretty well through playing soccer, and I definitely still use some of the lingo today when I play with Hispanic players. But yeah, it was a really great experience being able to play in Spain. I ended up coming back to Tulane my senior year. Really wanted to keep soccer a part of my life. And then kind of fast forward, it was COVID. Everything was basically shut down. I got a job in New York City at a quant trading firm doing equity research. And I kind of found myself in the same spot of like, really wanted to play, didn't know anyone, super busy. And so that's ultimately what led me to come up with this idea for Conquer App.
So now before, and definitely we'll dive into the Conquer App side of things, but rewinding just a little bit. So you went back to school, you got the I believe it was a degree in finance, is that right?
So degree in finance from Tulane University in New Orleans.
And then from there you went to New York and worked for a financial or investing firm, is that right?
Yeah, so I guess paired with my love for sports, I always loved stocks. I think I always just love following companies and really understanding how they work and the mechanics behind what drives them forward. And so really like researching companies, knew I wanted to get a job where I was covering companies or trading stocks. I always wanted to move to New York because I grew up in New Jersey. And I feel like for a lot of people in New Jersey, kind of New York City is like that big city nearby that you want to make it to. So was lucky enough to get a job at a pretty prestigious firm in New York, and moved into the city during COVID. So it was interesting, but learned a ton. I was almost fully remote in the beginning. Then we went back into the office because a lot of the traders had to be on site. And I actually covered airlines, which was super funny because a lot of the airlines were shut down when I was covering them. So I was covering basically predicting stock prices for airlines that were inactive, which, as you can imagine, was pretty difficult, just because we didn't really know what was going to happen with the airline industry. But it was a great time. But definitely happy that I, decided to take on my own thing full time.
So now, just to kind of fill that in, about how long did you work with the financial industry or work in New York there with the investing and the investment firm?
Right, yeah. So it was a company called Susquehanna International Group. They have an office in New York City. I worked there for 11 months. So it was actually like the end of May where I decided to May of 2021, where I decided to leave my job to pursue Conquer full time. We had started working on the development, but the actual project wasn't fully completed, wasn't ready to launch. So it was definitely kind of a risky time to leave, but we felt that the product was in a good spot, and I just didn't have enough hours in the day to really accomplish everything I wanted to on the product side. And so ultimately took the leap, and haven't really looked back since.
And just kind of to fill that in, because I think that it was you and your, if I remember right, and correct me where I'm wrong, you and your friend kind of were both started this together, worked on it together. Now, it sounds like filling in the gaps, it started out as a maybe a side hustle or a interest project or something you were doing. Not, was it intended to be, hey, I want to do my own business, I want to start full time, and here's my idea? Or kind of walk us through a little bit as you're doing the full time job, doing the working on Wall Street, so to speak, how you made that transition or kind of got the business going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a good point. My best friend Matthew, growing up, we actually were in kindergarten together. We played high school and club soccer together. He went to Lehigh. I ended up going to Tulane. He was working at a software consulting company at the time. He was fully remote. I had moved to New York, one of the few people who did, just because we eventually had to go back in the office really sooner than a lot of the other businesses. And so Matt, I think I was speaking with Matt one day, and we just mentioned that we felt like we had a lot of free time on our hands, even though we were working a lot. Because it was COVID, it was just one of those times where like nothing was open, no one was really going out on the weekends, you couldn't see a lot of people, and it was just tough to start a job remote, to be honest with you. I think both of us kind of just felt like we could be doing a little bit more, we wanted to be more hands-on. And so we came up with this concept just because both of us hadn't played soccer in so much time, and we were really itching to play. But Matt was still home in New Jersey, and a lot of his friends moved away after school, or they were still at school. And for me, living in New York, I was one of the few people who moved there. So we both kind of felt like we were in these new places in life, but didn't exactly have the network that we once did to play sports. And so kind of from there, we're like, all right, well, let's just start working on it, right? Like it's a pretty low lift. So like let's build a business plan. I remember we took I think a Friday off. We went to the Adirondacks in upstate New York. We got like a cabin, and we were just like jacked up on caffeine. We're like, let's just write a full business plan. We just spent like probably 36 hours that weekend of just like writing a business plan, thinking through everything possible, from competitors to things that can go wrong, to business models, to how we would come up with the funds, to how we would build a product and build an engineering team. From there, we knew we needed a CTO because we didn't have any technical experience writing code, and we knew we wanted this to be like a native mobile app. And so that was a challenge in itself, but ultimately got super lucky finding our third co-founder, Tanner Luke. He was a friend of a friend, got like an amazing recommendation. And I still remember the first interview with him. We didn't know what to offer him. We had no idea what he was going to say, but luckily he loved sports and he fell in love with the idea. And so he's been full time for about a year now, probably. And it's been amazing to see him just build the product really from scratch with our input and a lot of late nights. So we were doing
So now, just
pretty,
before we get into the full time, because fill that in.
right.
So you had the I'll call it a powwow or whatever you want to call it, getaway, that type of thing, where you spent, the basically sounds like most of the weekend and the whole time fleshing things out, figuring out how you do it. Now, at that point, you were, I assume, but you can correct me again where I'm wrong, that you hadn't left the job, you're still doing that full time. So kind of walk us through how you took it from the concept of a, working on it for 36 hours over the weekend to doing it as a side hustle to a full-time job, or kind of over what period of time did that occur, and kind of how did you make that transition?
Absolutely. So we went on the trip, I think it was October of 2020. We had started our jobs in like July and August. So we're just 2 months into our jobs. We went on this trip in October. And we were from there, we're like, okay, we have the business plan. Now, like what's next? What do we do? I remember like we were like, what do we do? We filed for an LLC on January 1st of 2021. We probably did that way too early because it cost a few hundred bucks, which wasn't a huge deal at the time, but we just didn't really we didn't have anything yet. So we felt like we were kind of like we registered domain because we wanted the name Conquer, wanted to make sure we had it. And then we were like, okay, we need to start building a product. So basically from me, I got on work usually around 6 or 6:15 in the morning for my finance job. And I usually sign off around 7 p.m. And I feel like from like 8 till like midnight, 1 a.m., I would just be on my computer. Like we were sketching up wireframes for what we wanted the UI to look like, getting on Zoom calls, trying to find logos. We also were not super creative like on the design side, so we ended up hiring a designer to design the logo and kind of give us some actual concepts that we can hand to our developer eventually to build the product. But yeah, a lot of long nights, a lot of like falling asleep with the lights on with my computer on my lap. But like I think that's how it starts, and we just realized that we were so excited after work, like we were excited for work to end so we can go on to the next thing, that we kind of really saw a path to full time. When we met Tanner, he started with us. I want to say he started writing code probably in like January or February. And it took him probably 6 to 8 months to really get like a solid MVP going. Keep in mind, we hadn't met him in person at the time. So we were kind of just working with this like mystery man who had a percentage of our business. We'd never met. And he was just pushing code at all hours of the night. We would get like the GitHub notifications on our email. And so really cool to see like our idea come to life. And yeah, I mean, it was definitely a lot of long hours. We definitely wasted a lot of times doing things that we didn't have to do. We started selling merch to start funding the business. I remember we got these hoodies with Conquer logos on and called all of our friends who ended up buying them, which was great. But yeah, that's really how it got started. We were just funding the business using our income and using merchandise sales, which we actually had a pretty good run with selling merch for a bit. And yeah, then in June of that year, or at the end of May, early June, we actually both left our jobs to take it on full time.
Now, how did you kind of reach or decide to that tipping point of where, okay, hey, we're gonna leave the jobs? Because I mean, in the sense that, a typical, and I'll say not less entrepreneurial person would look at it and say, hey, I've got a good job or got my degree. This fits it well. It's a good, it's a good or well-ranked or well-renowned firm. It's a good place to be. And now I'm gonna go and leave all that to or pursue a I'll call it a passion project now. That's how most startups and small businesses go. But kind of how did you figure out and you and your co-founders kind of it reached that point to where it was time to take that chance or make that dive or otherwise go in there full time?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely a tough decision. I think a lot of founders are just innately overconfident, right? Like we thought we had this amazing idea and we were like, it's definitely gonna work. And so, while a lot of people thought we were crazy for leaving our jobs, in our head it was kind of like, well, this is a product we would use. We've talked to a ton of people who, say they would use it. We were really confident in our idea to execute quickly and with very little capital. And in the meantime, we were actually saving up a lot of the money that we had from work. Matt wasn't, he was still living at home, so he was saving money on rent, and I had a pretty good deal from COVID. And so I don't know. I mean, the timing just felt right. I think I had did about a year of my job. I felt like I had certain I'd learned certain skills around like organizing myself and like getting things done efficiently, where I really just knew I wanted to start a company. We put out an internship application. That might have been the tipping point, actually. We put out an internship application for the summer of 2021. And we called all these schools we wanted to get on Handshake. We put out this internship application. It was sports tech internship, and we got like hundreds of applicants. And we were like, wow, like this is something that people actually want to work on, like not just we're passionate about it. And I think from there, you know, I spoke with Matt and I was like, listen, like if we're going to build a company around sports and technology and it's going to be about connecting people in a world where so many people are lacking connection, one, I think we have to make the jump, but two, I think we'll be able to hire and attract top talent as we build this business. And for us at Conquer, like we're really specific about who we bring on. You know, we really like to get to know them before we sign something in a full-time manner. And I think, you know, we've continued to bring on top talent in our company, I think because of our mission and because of how passionate we are. And I think that passion really stemmed from the beginning of like we're building something that we wanted in the world. And so when you think the world's gonna be better with your product than without it, it's pretty hard to not spend as much time as you can making that kind of come to life.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense and sounds like it was a good trend. Now you said it was June, July of 2021 or 2022 when you guys went full time.
It was June of 2021, and we kind of had just like released, I want to say like a beta that like only we were testing. We actually had like a UI that we can use. You can click on the app and it would open. It didn't look great, but it was working. And I think like that was kind of the point where like, okay, well now we can start bringing on certain people to give us advice on product and start testing the app and seeing what's intuitive, what's not. So we can really kind of release a V1 in January of 2022, which was really like our goal of to like really launch the product then.
So now you say, okay, you've got, now you do that, you're jumping full time, you have a pretty good, you know, runway and ability to pursue it. Now walk us through from the time you went full time, you know, launching it, or I'll say a lot of times you get into beta versus full launch and kind of pushing in the marketplace and really putting that concerted or full time effort. Kind of walk us through how from the start of kind of that full time endeavor till today, kind of how's it gone and how's it evolved, or where are you guys at, and kind of give us that update.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I guess now we're in June of 2021. We had some summer interns. We work with a few local high schools to test the product out too, specifically the sports teams, because a lot of them are doing captain's practices and things in the summer. And we wanted to see if this was something they would use to really organize meetups for themselves. The business has evolved a ton since then, but we really just wanted to see like, could people in our target demographic use this? Do they find value in it? Building up to that, like, really head down from like June to December. We were like, you know, we really want to get this product out for January. In the winter, a lot of people are struggling to find places to play. This could be a really cool way to get people indoors and really make use of underutilized facilities. That was kind of another part of our business that we thought was unique is that not only are we bringing people together who wouldn't meet otherwise, but we're also unlocking revenue for some schools, churches, dedicated athletic facilities who may not be used at certain times. And so in January, we kind of released that like first working product of the app. We didn't have payments in, even though our games in the winter typically cost money because they were meeting at local facilities. So the first facility we got on board was a facility in Waldwick, New Jersey called the Waldwick Superdome. I remember we posted on Facebook. Some people downloaded the app, some people didn't. We weren't on Android. Some people were paying us cash, Venmo. It was like a literal nightmare. But we got like 35 people out to this facility just off a Facebook post and like off of our friends. And then from there, it kind of started spiraling. So it was pretty unique to see real people like with the app showing it at the door, even though like, you know, certain things didn't really work as well as we wanted them to. So that was kind of a point where like, okay, well, now we have active users. We launched the product. Some people can't use it because they're on Android. So we knew we had to get an Android app out. We also were not paying ourselves for, you know, it was really the first year me and Matthew weren't paying ourselves. So we're like, well, now we need some money because like we kind of have a bit of a proof of concept, but we need design help, we need more development help, we need an Android app, and we need payments within the app. So, you know, we could really start scaling the business up. So at this point, we were really just an app for meeting up. Like it was like someone could post a game, you could share a link, people can join. And so I guess like I'll kind of pause there, but like that was really like phase one of like we started seeing customers, we had a facility partner, we started getting feedback about the app, like, oh, my friend wants this, but he's on Android. Can you guys build that out? And so that was really phase one. And then I was like, okay, well now we need some money, so we need to start fundraising.
So now with that in mind, definitely a great walkthrough and setup. Kind of walks you where things at today and kind of where do you see things headed? You know, taking the next 6 to 12 months, is it expansion, you know, expanding out features on the app? Is it a building it or going out and expanding it to new cities, new sports, new X, Y, and Z? Kind of walk us through kind of where things are currently at and where they're headed over the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I guess just quick to kind of bridge the gap in between like that January and where we are today. We ended up raising a bit of money. So we've taken on a little less than $1 million in an angel investor and venture capital. This past summer, we went through TechStars Sports Accelerator, which is a really great way to build relationships, meet other founders, and also raise some capital through that program. That was in Indianapolis, so the team got to move down there for the summer. And we got to work with some pretty cool partners like the Indianapolis Colts and the Indiana Pacers. So that was really cool. Since then, really been iterating on the product. We in the summer was a bit slower, honestly. So we were kind of working around some tweaks, figuring out exactly who our target customer were, because with our business, we're focused on connecting adults to play sports. There are tons of sports, there are tons of skill levels, there are tons of locations you could do that in. And I think like we really started to narrow our focus since then to figure out, okay, who is our customer? What do we want to achieve? So, now we're in March. We're really hyper focused on New York City right now, which is where I am. We want to target males and females ages 22 to 35 to allow them to play social sports. So really not as much on the competitive side, but social sports. We're actually taking the leap to switch our business model. So we were originally transaction based. Over the next few months, we'll be rolling out a subscription model similar to ClassPass, if you've heard of that business, where users will be allowed to buy credits up front. They'll pay monthly and they'll get access to certain games using those credits. It will also allow us to bring on other partners and other people who are posting games where they could put some spots on our platform, and now open up more options for our user base. And then at the end of this month, we're launching our corporate program, which will allow companies to actually sponsor their employees to play in unlimited pickup games every week, or really every month, for a flat fee. And we're really excited to work with some of the big tech and finance and just like businesses here in New York, where there's a lot of young people who are just itching to meet people but may not be able to commit to a league. So, I'm really happy where the business is at. I think this is going to be a huge year for us. Our goal is to roll out subscriptions, get to $1 million in annual recurring revenue, and raise a seed round at the end of this year. So, that's what we're focused on. Funny enough, next month one of our employees is getting married in Bali, so we're going to a destination wedding with the team out in Asia, which should be a nice break for the team before we really start going full force into the subscription model.
No, that's awesome. Definitely sounds like lots of opportunities, potential, and already a great amount of traction. So that's sounds like a great place to be. So perfect. Well, now as we do kind of reach towards the present day and even looking a bit to the futures to where things are headed, great time to transition to the two questions I always like to ask at the end of each episode. So we'll jump to those now. So the first question I'd like to ask is, along your journey, what was the worst business decision you ever made? And what'd you learn from it?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. I think as I look back over like the last few years of working on Conquer, I think what sticks out to me is focus. So I think when you're starting a business, it's very easy to have a million ideas and get a lot of feedback and work on a lot of things at once. Like I mentioned that, we were doing indoor sports, we were doing outdoor sports, we were doing pickleball, soccer, basketball, we've done volleyball, we've done frisbee. We've had 16-year-olds who are amateurs using our app. We've had 84-year-olds play pickleball on our platform. We've targeted social, we've targeted competitive. And I think for us, like that lack of focus made it really, really hard to get one thing right. And so I would say, like for us, like the biggest thing I learned is to be focused. And I think the biggest mistake that I made was not being hyper focused on one thing, which right now I feel like we have like this New York City social sports. We have that demographic tightened. And so that's really what I've learned, because since we've kind of made the conscious decision to focus on this demographic, which is a lot smaller than what we were going after before, our revenue has increased, our retention has been stronger, our users are happier. So I think, yeah, the main thing I learned was about focus. And I think in the beginning it's tough, but and it's okay to do some like a little small, like a curated test to figure out what's going to work. But at the end of the day, like I think it's important to do really one thing at a time and make sure you do that thing as, better than anyone else in the market.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I also get where it comes from. It is a hard balance to figure out exactly what that's going to, where you should focus at. So in other words, it definitely in theory, so to speak, you're going to say, hey, this is, we need to be focused. And then on the other hand, you get in there and say, well, where is the opportunity, or where do we make our money, or where are we going to get our traction? And so you're always trying to balance of keeping that focus and keeping that core competency, while also when you're brand new and you're just figuring things out, having to go along and figure things out. So definitely get the ease of making the mistake there, but a great one to learn from. Second question now that I like to ask you is, so now if you're talking to somebody that's just getting into a startup or a small business, What would be the one piece of advice you'd give them?
Yeah, the one piece of advice is to really be obsessed with your customer. I think the reason that we've been able to be successful is because Matt and I, since building Conquer, we've been so close to our target customer. We hosted games on our platform, we talked to them, we researched competitors, we know our competitors, we've gone to our competitors' games. And I think in today's world where it's, I don't want to say it's easy to launch a startup, but there are a lot of different tools that make it relatively easy and quick to start a business. There are so many products out there, so there are so many things that are being pitched to us on a daily basis that it's actually quite hard to build something that people like and they want to pay for. And I think that with all those challenges that you have of like trying to find out what people want, it's really, really important that you understand your customer better than anyone because you're ultimately building a product for them. And so my one piece of advice is get to know your customer, be obsessed with your problem, talk to them as much as you possibly can and quickly iterate. But you know, the assumptions are tough because you might think one thing, but at the end of the day, the market's going to tell you what they want and what they're willing to pay. And so it's important to stay as close as you can to those target customers to figure out exactly how you can make the product that they want.
No, I think that's definitely a great piece of advice and a great takeaway. Well, now as we do wrap up the episode, if people want to reach out to you, they want to be a customer, they want to be a client, they want to be an employee, they want to be an investor, they want to be your next best friend, any or all of the above, what's the best way to reach out to you, contact you, find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way is through our website, www.conquerapp.io. My email is just lewis.long@conquerapp.io. You can reach me on LinkedIn, would probably be the easiest way to get in touch with me directly. But our website has a ton of information. You can contact kind of our team through there as well.
Awesome. Well, I definitely encourage people to reach out, support a great business, make a new connection. If nothing else, make a new best friend. So, with that, thank you again for coming on the podcast. It's been a fun, it's been a pleasure. Now, for all of you, the listeners are out there, if you have your own journey to share and you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, we'd love to have you. So, just go to inventiveguest.com, apply to be on the show. Excuse me. Also, if you are in addition to applying on the show to help us to reach even more startups and small businesses, make sure to click share, subscribe, leave us a review. Helps us to reach those startups and small businesses to help them along their journey to success. And on that note, if along your journey you ever need help with patents or trademarks or anything else with your startup or your small business, just go to strategymeeting.com. Grab some time with us to chat. We're always here to help. Well, thank you again, Lewis, for coming on the podcast and wish the next leg of your journey even better than the last.
Thanks so much, Devin. Yeah, pleasure speaking with you.